I almost protested the war in the beginning. Almost. Until I saw what happened to them Dixie chicks. I said, fuck that. If they'll do that to three white women, they will tear my black ass to pieces. I don't want to hear that shit. Yeah, man, they would. But I'm like, for real, why you care so much what the Dixie chicks say? It's not like they political scientists or nothing. They just bitches that can sing good. You know what I mean? Stop worshiping celebrities so much. Just don't pay attention. I remember right around September 11th, Ja Rule was on MTV. That's what they said. They said, we got Ja Rule on the phone. Let's see what Ja's thoughts are on this tragedy. Who gives a fuck what Ja Rule thinks at a time like this, nigga? This is ridiculous. I don't want to dance. I'm scared to death. I want some answers that Ja Rule might not have right now. You think when bad shit happens to me, I'll be in the crib like, oh my God, this is terrible. Could somebody please find Ja Rule, get hold of this motherfucker so I can make sense of all this. Where is Ja? Add me, Ja Rule. I don't even know why people listen to me. I'll say anything, nigga. I've done commercials for Coke and Pepsi. I don't give a fuck what comes out of my mouth. I just say what it takes. Whatever it takes, that's what I'm saying. If you want to know the truth, can't even taste the difference. Surprise!
I mean, I do definitely believe in energy, just energy, period. You know what I mean? And I wasn't always that type of person, you know what I mean, that really just paid attention. It was simple shit like we used to hear growing up back in the day, like pay attention to your gut and all that. That was just really like another way of wording, like pay attention to the energy that even yourself, your inner conscience is telling you about stuff. Like, it'd be times you could just be around a person or a situation and you just feel like your whole energy changed, where you could tell like, no, I shouldn't be here, or I shouldn't even be fucking with this person, or they giving off the energy like, no, something scandalous about this motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But the day that I really paid attention after the situation happened, that made me really pay attention to how the energy of the earth and everything in the world talks to you and can lead you in certain directions, was when rest in peace, but when Endo ended up getting killed. Because literally prior to him getting killed, we was rocking with each other. You already know what was going on during that time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever little money that was being made.
Yeah.
And we was around each other every day, and if not every day, every other day.
Right.
But we was renting out this one. He had his place, I had my place, but we had this little apartment as well set up that we most of the time would bump into each other at, you know, mutually come there or whatever.
Right.
And I just remember my mom just randomly called talking about she was sick. Now, any other time, you know, living out of town at that time, you know, your parents or someone call you and say they sick, they got a cold or something, you probably would just call and check on them a little bit more, make sure they all right, different things like that. But something right. about that situation was like, nah, let me come home.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when I came home, down there like a month, maybe even less than a month, I'm coming up Livernois, and I remember just getting a call. I don't know if he want to have his name out there. I just end up getting a call from somebody, and he was just like, yeah, they got Endo. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself like, damn, I'm thinking automatically thinking like, oh, he probably got caught by the police. You know what I'm saying? That's what he, damn, we got arrested. And he like, nah, they, you know what I'm saying? They set him up at his crib and got him. What up, though? This your boy DOC. Welcome to another episode of the No Offense Podcast. We actually 21 deep in the game right now. This is episode 21. So I gotta tell you guys, everybody that's been tuning in, I'm talking about from the Midwest, East Coast, West Coast, down south, Denmark, Spain, the United Kingdoms, I'm talking about all across the board. I've been seeing tons of people tuning in, tapping in, you know, soaking up game, spitting game back. You know, we greatly appreciate it, man. Double salute to everybody that's been showing love. You know, you got a lot in store today that we're going to talk about. I'm talking about we cover everything. I'm talking about everything from the game goofy shit that D-Boys be doing, trying to mock BMF and how people got caught up in that, all the way down to relationships. You know, it's a lot of things that be on y'all mind that a lot of people be scared to say, and we gonna talk about it. So you gotta make sure you be tuned in so you can hear what the conversation is. And please believe, at the end of the day, you can be involved in the conversation yourself by clicking the little voice message thing, and anything that come to your mind, you can go ahead and shoot it to us, and depending on your feedback, it may end up popping up and being in one of our episodes, and we'll reply back to you. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this next episode. But one thing I gotta say, if you listening to this on Apple Podcasts, it takes less than 5 seconds. Go ahead and do me the biggest favor. You're trying to reach the goal of 100 five-star ratings before the end of the month. If you could take a couple seconds out your day and hit the five-star rating and a positive review, I would greatly appreciate it. So let's go ahead and jump back into this real talk. You know what I mean? And it just, like, I slammed on the brakes, swerved into a gas station. Like, it seemed like the whole world, because I was like, damn. And, you know, at that moment, I wasn't thinking about, oh, that could have been me. Of course, I'm like, damn, I just couldn't believe it. Because I know how he really didn't even for real want to go into that lane. Like, you know, we was in school during that time.
Right.
And he tried to get a job at McDonald's. And the racist little area didn't even want to hire him there. And he got pissed off like, these motherfuckers don't even, I can't even get a job at McDonald's, but fuck it. And he went back to California, got, you know, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, that small situation from the McDonald's sent him off on a whole nother mission in life. And then in return, end up getting killed. But I say all that to say it's just about that energy of what came from that, oh, I'm sick. Now, like, let me come home and check. And then that end up happening, because 9 times out of 10, we probably would have been around each other or something, or with each other. You know, from that moment right there, I pay attention to how the world, when my body or my conscience and stuff tell me something, I pay attention to it. You know what I mean? And really keep an eye on that shit, because you just never know. Because, like, in that example, like, it could save your life. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And that's why, like, I'm starting to understand now what all the OGs used to say back in the day, you know what I'm saying? Like, pay attention, don't ignore the signs, you know what I'm saying? Go with your right mind type stuff. This is real.
I definitely believe in that, you know what I mean? Like, even down to, even I'm in a relationship now, but I definitely even use that, like, just in relationships, dealing with a girl of a certain type of energy come off. And this is the thing that kills me nowadays. I wonder how people even sense any energy, because nowadays everything's set up off of social media. So right. Most people interacting through social media, you hollering at a bitch through social media and stuff like that. One, I'll be noticing when I'm out, a lot of times people just walking, everybody got their heads down because they got their head in their phone. And if I was single, you know, you out and you see a chick, a lot of these guys don't even know how to approach a girl in real life no more.
Right. It makes you very socially awkward, you know what I'm saying? For the most part, you know, and desensitize you to things, man. You know what I'm saying? But it's like technology right now is almost like a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
But like they say, everything is okay in moderation, to, you know, for the most part, like how you were saying that it's good to have a sober mind, you know, so you can be in tune with the energies that's going on around you, and that goes for everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you walking around, like you say, they walking around with their phone down, you might walk into something or walk out in the traffic or anything, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, what do we do? Because it's our phones and our access to this information is such a beautiful thing, but it's like, how do we
balance it?
Yeah, how do we balance it out, man?
Yeah. Like you said, from the information is there, you know, the chuckles, the laugh is, I'm talking about everything is right in the smartphone nowadays. And I was just seeing this thing the other day talking about how on Amazon, like, they don't need to have consent to use your biometrics in your phone now. And you know, a lot of smartphones nowadays make you, or you have to opt in, but some may make you, I don't know, I only know how my phone is, to use your thumbprint or your eye scan to get in your phone and all that stuff. And they say they can, they don't need consent to use your biometrics or sell them to the government and stuff like that. And they wondering, like, why do they need that access to do all that? Like, what's really going on? What's the bigger picture behind having all that? You know what I mean? That's why they even, the society is so crazy. That's one of the things, like, excuse me, that's what's crazy about, like, what Nipsey Hussle was saying about the difference when he was growing up to now, and the game and all the stuff the OGs was telling him during that time, it just didn't fit into today's society,
right?
Because of all the technology and all the cameras and everything. It's like, it's a lot of stuff you really can't do, and you, because you got a 99-98% chance of really getting caught doing it. Your phone pinging off towers.
The game has definitely changed, for sure.
Yeah, like, your phone pinging off towers, so it's letting people, it's letting, if they do go back to trace that, where you at, where you been at, then your fingerprints automatically in your phone, possibly if you're using the biometrics, and if they need that to match up. You know what I'm saying? If a person was living that, and that'd be all the things, not to lace people up on how to be smarter at doing some dumb or ignorant shit, but this is all the stuff people need to consider before they even go into that world, because it's not about just, the only good thing that come out of being in that world is just getting the money. Damn near everything else is a negative thing. Right. You know what I'm saying? That come from that world. And you got to be able to balance, are you willing to deal with all this negative shit to get the money, and definitely have a plan, you know, to get about the game, because a lot of people not getting in the game with no exit right. route.
And I think that all ties into, you know what I'm saying, the conversation of the state of society and like what kind of caused you know, the conditions that we're in, you know what I'm saying? Because I think that a lot of people, you know, young guys, even girls nowadays, are getting into certain lifestyles with no plan, just basically just because it seems like it's the cool thing to do. You know what I'm saying? Generally, like people who well, I'm not even gonna say generally, but I would say a lot of the people who really like come from the life or choose it, you know, they have a reason on why they doing it, you know what I'm saying? Or because they didn't have any other opportunities to achieve what they want to achieve, but they had a plan. I just want to get in and get out, or use my money to, you know, start this business or fund this project, you know what I'm saying? Or just to help my mama pay for bills or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But like, it's too often now that it's just like, I just want to get in the game for sport, you know what I'm saying? Right. This person got all the money, got all the cars and the, for lack of better words, the fame or respect. So I just want to do it too. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that's cool, man. I don't think it's cool. It's like, for one, you shouldn't just be doing it just to do it. And like you say, for two, if you are going to choose to do it, you got to have a plan. You know what I'm saying?
For real. And to be honest, I could put the accountability on both ends in that discussion. You got the loose as a goose. You got the motherfucker that, you know, misguided or maybe getting in it just for the cool factor. And this is why shit is hella fucked up, for real, for real. Because, yes, I understand the objective is to get money. But the overall objective is to get money over longevity. Now, unless you know, a person like, oh, I'm only gonna do this a 6 month run or something like that. But say, the reason why I say I hold two different sides of the coin accountable in a situation, because you say, for instance, you take the plug, you got the plug, and you got the quote unquote worker, and that's gonna segue into some other shit. But you got the plug, and you got the quote unquote worker. It's a responsibility on the fucking plug end. He needs to vet the motherfuckers that he's selling his weight to. Right. They need to stop putting everybody on. These niggas so thirsty just to get rid of their work so fast and try to get their numbers lower, this and that. They damn near putting on a nigga that's already a fucking rat. He already a rat. He didn't even vet the nigga to see if the nigga a rat or not, or if this nigga gonna steal and rob from him, or if this nigga got a plan, if he's solid. Do he even halfway know the nigga? He just selling to everybody. You know what I'm saying? So that's fucked up on that end. And then you got the person that's the worker, the one that's copping this shit, that's coming into this shit all googly-eyed. You know what I'm saying? Right. So if you put them two situations together, that situation is bound to fall out, that, you know, fall apart fast. You know what I mean? It ain't no structure and shit no more. You damn there back in the day.
But that's just it, though. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so saturated now with you know, so-called workers. You know what I'm saying? And the motherfuckers who just getting in the game for sport is damn near telling on the real motherfuckers who you know, would be stand-up people. You know what I'm saying? Oh. That people who the plug don't even know who's who no more. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know, you got to get it to somebody, but who? How do we know now? You know what I'm saying? Because everybody is saying that they can do this and they can do that now. You know what I'm saying? It used to be a certain amount of people, you know what I'm saying, who even had access to even get things. Nowadays, you could just order some shit off the internet.
You know? Exactly. You step out the house, like you say, either to the internet, or you could just step out the house and just like, man, I'm just go to this gas station right quick. You probably gonna have in between parking your car, taking your keys out your shit, getting out the car and walking to the front door of that liquor store, you probably have about 10 signals get signaled at you. Some niggas trying to get off some shit. You know what I mean? Like, but you said it's so saturated, and that's where just the game is fucked up. You know what I mean? The game is totally, and that was something that I just, it's crazy in hindsight, especially for the people that haven't seen the BMF. If y'all go back to the first 1 through 5 episodes on here, you will end up seeing this interview with this guy named Dex Hussey that's from BMF I end up doing. But I remember him saying, he was like, bro, when BMF got took off the streets, it didn't just affect them. It affected like it put like a whole shift in the economy. And what's crazy is, because back then, I wasn't fucking with nobody that was in BMF or even close to nobody in BMF. Now, during that time, they said you was always 2 to 3 people removed from someone that was possibly getting it from them because they were so massive in what they was doing. But I just remember around 06 or 07 sitting down with one of my homies, Skeet, and we were just talking.
I remember Skeet. He was cool.
Yeah. We were just talking, and I'm like, man, it seemed like the fucking streets just then changed overnight. Like, literally, it was like everybody was trying to finesse. Everybody was trying to get over. It's like niggas wasn't even trying to attempt to do good business. It seemed like good business was trying to get over. Right. If you was getting an elbow, if they was shorting that bitch out of whole zip, or the money short, it seemed like everything. But when I sit back in hindsight and look at it, because I'm like, shit, once they took them big boys off, not to say it ain't no more other big boys out there or whatever, and none of this is from a glorification perspective, but just in hindsight, looking at the shit, once the streets dried up, niggas was still trying to maintain their same lifestyle, so they was doing everything that they possibly could to try to scrape them bucks back up. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I'm like, trying to hold on to something that's fleeting.
Exactly, because the shit was just drying up like crazy. And one of the funniest things to me is in that interview with Dex, he was talking about how a lot of everybody was like, man, the reason why BMF went down because the boys, they was flashing too much. They was doing all that other shit. And that nigga said, he was like, man, when we was hustling and going to them parties and all that shit, he was like, all that shit was strategic. He said, we purposely was doing that. He was like, we take 50 dudes, put them in big BMF shirts. We purposely broadcasting it. Big BMF shirts. We send them to Miami. You going to spend a $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, in a club. Yes, you know this is causing massive attention. You know that. Not only just with the people there, it's causing massive attention with the regular police, the state troopers, the FBI, CIA, everybody is looking at this shit going on. He like, wow, they all had their eyes on looking at them 50 dudes partying and following them home from the club and started following them. That's in Miami. The bag leaving from Arizona going to this state and the 18-wheelers going to this state. So he was like, basically what he was saying, everywhere we went party that was a direct opposite place of where the actual bag was moving at. So I'm like, damn,
that boy is good.
That's crazy. That's crazy strategic. But what was fucked up, because you know niggas is followers. So everybody wanted to be Big Meech. Everybody wanted to be Big Meech. So they following that footstep, doing that shit. But nigga, you can't be up in the club throwing hella money, but you got working, you got weed on you, pistol in the car, you know what I'm saying? License probably fucking expired, all type of shit. You throwing all that money because you trying to follow what he doing because you thinking, oh, this just going to make me look good and this is going to bring me more clientele. No, you making yourself high. You can't be near none. You can't be near the work or the actual money from this shit.
They thinking... you know, the regular niggas out here thinking that they was just celebrating, not knowing that this shit was actually planned, and you know, the money they was spending was actually an expense.
right, exactly.
that was actually the get it through expense.
for real, like me. This 150 be popping tonight to make sure that shit make it from point A to point B. But you know, no one would have known that if they wasn't actually inside. But the correlation, what I was saying as far as between the quote unquote plug and the worker, because the correlation between the same context of when like Ja Rule and Irv Gotti went up there to the Breakfast Club and they had the conversation with DJ Envy. It was a little bit more, what would you call it? Not, you know, rational, not more of an attackish type way than when Dame Dash went up there and said the same things to DJ Envy and them. And it seemed like they got upset when he was pushing be your own boss and not work for, you know, this and that. But I think what people fail to realize is I'm the believer of, because yeah, my pops is an entrepreneur, you know, used to hustle, an entrepreneur and all that stuff. So he embedded a lot of those principles and get it out the dirt and turn nothing to something, and how, you know, he embedded a lot of those principles in me where I wasn't scared to take that route. And scared is probably even the wrong word, but I just wasn't not immune to, you know, taking that route than having the safety net of, and like, and it's nothing wrong to me. It's nothing wrong with having a job or anything at all. No. I just wonder how that conversation that they be having, you know, people be getting really offended by people pushing that type of mentality of being an entrepreneur and becoming your own, you know, being your own boss in some type of way. Because the girl asked Dame Dash the other day in an interview, well, what do you advise a person if they don't have nothing at all, how to even start a business? You can't start a business with nothing. And he was like, you buy something for one price and you flip it. And he was like, and not even necessarily just talking about drugs, especially in 2019. This same friend, do you even take the sneaker game?
Right,
the pair of Jordans come out, and if you do got a couple dollars to your pocket, you go buy two of the last pair of them size 12s, and you tuck them bitches and put them away until and you know what I'm saying, and then you put them on eBay and you sell them for $100 markup, $75 markup, and then you just keep doing it. You could do that with shirts, You could do that with and lamps. You're talking about you could really do any. You could set up your own damn store on Amazon and eBay and all that shit nowadays. You just got to make sure you send these people their product, and you could set up a business like that until you accumulate enough money to put that money towards. But I understand back in the day, it wasn't that many options because the internet, and that's what you said, that social media and the internet is the gift and the curse.
Right. But like you say, though, man, it's not, it's like we can divide up, you know, for the most part, people in general into two different categories. You know what I'm saying? You've got people who produce things, you got producers, and then you got, you know, people who consume things, you got consumers. And in both of those cases, you got a whole that branches out to different types of personalities and characteristics in people, you know. And I said all that to say that, you know, people like you, people like Dame, other people who are intelligent enough or have enough confidence in themselves to start things from the ground up. You know what I'm saying? The ratio is by far offset. You know what I'm saying? People don't even have the confidence to say, well, or comfortable enough in they sacrificing to say, okay, I'm gonna start from the ground up, and I'm gonna do this to, you know, because I got a vision, you know, and I believe in myself, man. People don't believe in themselves more so than none. You know what I'm saying? Like they rather just stay comfortable in the conditions that they might not be in. It might be in, might not even be a comfortable position, but they're so comfortable in what they know is gonna make something happen, however modest it is, that they don't even go outside of their comfort zone to try something new and actually, you know, have the courage. That's one of the words I was looking for. People are not courageous no more, because in my understanding, the definition of somebody being courageous is continuing in spite of fear. Not you know, we don't have no fear, but the ability the ability to proceed even though you are afraid of the unknown or the uncharted is courage. You know what I'm saying? So when you said you was uncomfortable trying or stepping out into an area that you knew nothing about, you had courage. You know what I'm saying? And that's a big thing that we're missing. You know what I'm saying? As far as the majority of people, especially in our culture and amongst our people, man, it's to have courage to try something new. You know what I'm saying? Even though you have no experience in it, you know,
I would add a third category. Just me thinking about it right now, but definitely producer, consumer. But I add a third category, because you got some motherfuckers out here that just don't want to do shit. They don't want to produce or consume. They just want to fucking freeload off of the consumer motherfucking and freeload off of, you know what I mean? Because they just, I don't know, it'd be crazy to me. I have really ran across some people that's just like, that's just here. Like, man, they is almost like a walking zombie. Like, they just here. And, you know, that can go to mental health and all that shit or whatever. But some people just, they just satisfied with, hey, I'm about to go over this nigga house. I'm going to wake up in the morning, go over this nigga house. I'm going to smoke up they motherfucking weed. You know what I'm saying?
Not leeches, man. Or people who are, another thing that's rampant is the people who feel like they're entitled to something. You know what I'm saying? No matter if they put anything, any work in or any energy for that matter, they just feel like just because they hear or they know you, you know what I'm saying, you supposed to break them off, take care of them, or whatever, man. So yeah, I definitely feel you on that. That's a real thing.
Yeah, and I don't be getting it because I don't feel comfortable as no man, you know, having to. And everybody had a peaks and valleys in life. I'm not a man without flaws. You know what I'm saying? But it does not feel comfortable as a man to have to depend on nobody. You know what I mean? But that's why I started that sentence off by saying that we all have peaks and valleys. Sometimes a situation in life can knock you down, and sometimes you have to regroup. But during that time, I feel like that's when you can really see who your genuine loved ones are, who, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot throughout them times when you down that you can learn. So when you get up, so hopefully you can stop the chances of going back down again. That's why they say you can't be a boss until you take a loss, because once you take a loss, you learn it. You learn something from why and you took that loss.
And that's a very good point, because I was sitting here thinking as you was talking, like, I don't think it's possible for a person to even begin to fathom what it, you know, any type of appreciation for a thing if they never had to do any work or put any energy into cultivating it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's the only way. Cause if you look at it, only the people who have built something or have put in the type of the necessary energy or work to sustain a thing can respect, you know what I'm saying, somebody else who has come up from the dirt, because they know what it took. You know what I'm saying? They know how much energy that it took to build that thing or to pioneer, you know what I'm saying, that situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, people who never experienced that, they could never begin to even understand or appreciate, you know, or respect somebody, you know, who has done a great thing or even started something from grassroots.
And this right here goes across the board for men and women. Because, yeah, you know, a woman can be a boss in her own right, start her own stuff. But then also, just even from a relationship aspect, if a woman is dating a dude that has aspirations and you see him actually putting actions towards that, to even understand the hardships, the peaks and valleys that it go through for that man to get to where he's at. Every motherfucking man ain't gonna come in a gift wrap already fully put together for you. Some people are still in that transition or still, you know, marking out their path in life. You know what I'm saying? Because to be honest with you, statistic-wise, a lot of people that wasn't born into wealth, a lot of them don't really touch their first millions until they in their 30s, then their 40s, sometimes in their 50s, sometimes. That people rushing, like, we rushing life. You know, people is rushing life. I would love to be fucking a millionaire tomorrow. I would love it. But I'm not about to make desperate decisions or do some crazy shit to try to get that million so fast. It's either going to get me killed or get my freedom taken away from me. Right. Rather, I could just map out a goal and a plan to live there, because a lot of people don't think they even gonna make it to 25. So in between 15, 16, before they even hit 18, they rushing doing all this wild shit trying to get to it, because they don't even imagine even seeing 30 at all. So they like, I got to get to it now. And you do, people, you got a lot of life to live, but you got to want to live. You know what I'm saying? You gotta want to live, you know what I mean? But one thing I will
say, man, like, I and it's just my opinion from my experience, you know. I'm not gonna say all women, but I'm just gonna say from my experience, you know, they really lack appreciation, and I'm gonna say I'm not gonna be biased, but because Some men definitely don't appreciate women how they supposed to, but I feel like it's rare nowadays for women to appreciate, you know what I'm saying, what and why a man does what he does for the woman. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like now it's the attitude that, you know, just because I'm here, you know what I'm saying, just because, you know, I give you some ass or whatever, you supposed to do these things. Like, that's what you supposed to do. You know what I'm saying?
Ladies, like, you gotta, not the, you ladies, you gotta bring more than pussy to the table.
For sure.
I'm listening.
You know what I'm saying? It's like they've lost that sense of appreciation of what it's actually taking him to, like, what energy he's putting into making sure that, you know what I'm saying, you straight. You know what I'm saying? Like the case where you ain't gotta work no more or whatever, or even if you do gotta work, you know what I'm saying, some of the money, you could do whatever the fuck you wanna do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why is he doing this? They don't even think about that no more. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, why am I, like, why is he doing it for me? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, this just come with, you know, me being in a relationship. But I think that they need to get back to the point of really looking at theyself and saying, okay, he is choosing to do this with me because, and go, you know, go on from there and list those things, man. You know, because that's important, because don't nobody want to feel underappreciated. You know what I'm saying? Even though it could be something modest, you know what I'm saying? Like, say a dude got a little, you know, 9-to-5 job, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he go to work every day and, you know, he wanna let you know that he appreciates you and he loving you. He damn near give you half his, after everything is paid for, he give you half of what he done work for. You know what I'm saying? Right. And they just out here saying, like, oh, he's supposed to be doing it. You know what I'm saying? I think that's fucked up. And, like, they so used to, and like I say, I'm not talking about all women, but they so used to, you know, the dope boy situation and the niggas with money. It's like they not even thinking about, okay, the dope nigga got 100 bands, right? Yeah. This year he didn't gave you 10 G's to blow. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. Like, 10 G's unaccounted for, you didn't, and I'm just throwing numbers out there. You know, that's only 10%. But the dude at RVN Furniture, you know, he only made 20 G's for the year, and he done gave you damn near 40, 50, 60% of his money. But you looking at him like he ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, but really, he's showing you he really fucking with you more than the dope nigga.
Exactly, because I just throw away money that dude was gonna burn
anyway.
You know what I mean? But like you say, being able, I don't know. I always be thinking about, and you know, and I know this, it sounds stupid and maybe sound crazy and shit like that, but just like how we always talk about, and it's on the same topic, just like how we always talk about how influential hip hop is to especially our community, but definitely to the world, you know what I mean? Yeah. And even music. I just feel like once songs like, you know, It Ain't Tricking If You Got It, all that type of shit started planting seeds in people's head, along with social media, because you got some of the people that motherfuckers look to as role models that shouldn't even be role models. Like, every time I see Amber Rose, I just be wanting to tell that bitch to, like, just shut up. Like, you just should be a picture that people see scrolling on there. We should not be hearing you talk. You know what I'm saying? But I know, motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Like, we should not be hearing what you're thinking. We don't care about what you think. You know what I'm saying? Right. And now she just getting more and more and more fucking opinionated on real topics. Just like Dave Chappelle was saying with, you know, he made that joke like, where's Ja? We really need to hear his opinion. Like, ain't nobody, when some real shit is popping off, like, man, I wonder what the fuck Amber Rose think about this shit. Right. We don't value your opinion. And I hate to see, because she's a human being and all that, But it just is what it is. And she's leading a lot of people, a lot of women in the wrong direction, because people, they, you know, motherfuckers just idolize success. They always talking about, oh, that's body goals, that's hair goals, that's relationship goals. They looking at her and different people like her and calling them goals, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. A lot of those chicks really be getting controlled in those relationships. They be, they put on that smile when they go on social media, you know what I mean? But really behind closed doors, they getting damn near treated like kids. Because if you get with a man and he is doing everything for you, like everything from point A to point Z, and you not bringing shit to the table but pussy, how you think he really, you know what I'm saying? Not all men, but in those situations, that's when motherfuckers chasing these athletes and chasing these, you damn near gotta have an understanding. Even to chasing that D-boy, you gotta understand that, you know, when he hitting, if he really not just your local D-boy, but he really getting it popping, and you know, he gotta move around and do all type of shit. Certain shit come with that motherfucking life. And it's like, you just got some set rules that you need to just abide by. You can't have both. You're not going to be able to come into a situation like that and then think that you still supposed to damn or be like wearing the pants in the situation too, where he the full financier of every fucking thing. Like, no, your opinion. But that's why you got to pick and choose who you want to be with, because there's going to be pros and cons. You know what I mean? You want the longevity and long money. Yeah, it may be good to partying, the partying and all that to fuck with. And I'm not knocking D-boys, because, you know, at all, you know, for the ones that's, like we said before, doing it, got a goal, a plan, or whatever, out of an act of necessity, or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? But you got to know what you're getting into. You can't get with the D-boy and expect this nigga to be like, treat you or your household to be like if you was with a doctor or a lawyer or some shit. That's not that going to be that lifestyle, for real, for real.
Right.
You know, the expectations that people want this fairy tale with a white picket fence type of mentality coming into situations with a nigga that's not from that world. You know what I mean? And it's like, just like, it, it always tripped me out, even from a little kid, hearing that, you know, this infatuation that some women just have with the quote unquote bad boys. But yeah, they make, because of the money and everything else, that maybe you may respect them because people may fear him. You may respect him a little bit more because of his money. But are you going to be willing to go through the down times with this man as well? If that door get kicked and someone trying to rob that crib, if that door get kicked and it's the fucking feds and nigga, it's time to go to jail, are you going to be down to ride through all of that? Or were you just around just for the good times? You know what I mean? And then that's what ended up making
excitement. You know what I'm saying? But I think, like, going back to the touching on, like, you know, the personality like Amber Rose, you know, I think it's not that, you know, we don't want to, well, like,
I don't want to hear what you got to say.
No, but I think I think it's because I think that type of person, just not women, just that type of person exists because, you know, it's like you can be a person can be going through a thing or have went through a thing, and they develop these you know, mechanisms for coping, and it's like over time, like you make yourself feel like these, like you said, abnormities or things that are abnormal are now normal. Like you've convinced yourself, you know, just so you don't feel like you a fucked up person, that this shit is okay. You know what I'm saying? Because I really believe, like, half of the people that's like that, if you really ask them, you know what I'm saying, like, where's your life, you know, like where did things go wrong, and what made you feel the way you feel? Like, okay, let's also talk about, like, how there's this big perpetuation of, like, you know, same sex relationships. You know what I'm saying? I personally believe, like, more than 50% of, like, the women out here that prefer women, if you ask them, or if somebody asked them, you know what I'm saying, like, what made you want to be with a woman, or if you ask the men, like, what made you, you know, want to be with a man? I bet you over 50% of them will say something along the lines of, you know, of the existence or the presence of trauma somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And after all of this time has passed by, they just started convincing themselves that it's okay. So it's like, now it's spilling over into, you know, they famous now, and they reaching people. So it's like the illness is controlling, you know what I'm saying, what they talking about or the message that they coming across. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I think it's, you know, really like a cry for help, man. You know, it's like, I'm sick, but I don't want nobody to think I'm sick. I don't even want to think that I'm sick. So I'm just going to accept it and wear it on my chest. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's like one of the biggest culprits of us not healing as a people. You know what I'm saying? Because we not addressing the issues. You know what I'm saying? We just going out here sick.
Putting a Band-Aid on it and putting some makeup over it and going out there into society, but not really addressing the scar that's up under that Band-Aid.
And not considering that the people that you are talking to, the people that you reaching, you know what I'm saying, your audience, these kids,
you affecting them too now.
Basically, you now are about to put them through the same thing that you wish you didn't go through, you know what I'm saying, as a child or coming up in life. You know what I'm saying? You completely disregarding that fact. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, okay. You saying you like women now, you saying you like men now, you know what I'm saying? Or you always been that way, but you know deep down that shit is rooted to whatever you went through, and you out here saying that it's okay, and now that child is about to go through the same life that you felt like you was miserable in. And I don't think that's fair. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the main problems I have with the publicizing of things that are definitely abnormal. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not giving the youth a chance. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you can live your life however you choose to live your life. You know what I'm saying? But if you become a public figure, you know what I'm saying?
Pushing that on people now.
Communities as a whole, man. You know what I'm saying? You gotta give the people who might not actually be going through that shit a chance, man. You know what I'm saying? Because you didn't want to go through it in the first place either. So,
and seeing that's one of them topics that, especially, and I don't, you know, it ain't even no just attack on necessarily Amber, but it's she really stuck out to me when she, you know, started the whole slut walk shit. And you know, when people try to put it down on paper and all that stuff, that, you know, they can write those words and manipulate it to make it seem a certain thing. But like you saying, as far as this messaging that you pushing, there's so many different damn consequences to these messages that she's pushing. Because I always say, like, think about the message that she's pushing to women. If you, as a man or even as a woman listening to her, imagine if that message is getting across to your daughter, or that message is getting across
to your son,
or your son, or something like that. How would you feel about it? If you already grown, you grown to be able to make your own decisions. But when you talking about these kids and stuff like that, and they idolize her, look at her as famous and all that stuff, and she pushing this lifestyle on them, and they just see her smiling, they see her on flights and doing all this other, you know, tummy shit, all this other bullshit. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers look up to it and want to be that person, not knowing what all come with that life. And it's like, the reason why I said the thing about Amber Rose just with that slut walk shit, because I know this is a conversation that people do not, or some people do not like to have. And I just got to keep it real when just, of course, I'll start off this sentence for the people that have horrible comprehension skills or people that forget certain things once they hear something that they may not like. So I'll start off by saying, yes, and of course, raping is absolutely wrong.
Right.
There's no way around it. Yes, raping a woman, raping a man, raping a child, in any way you want to configure it, is absolutely wrong.
Raping yourself is wrong too.
You know what I mean? Like, but one thing as a human, just as a human, that what they say, what's that? What they call it? They was like, you have a natural act of like self-preservation. You want to protect yourself. Right. You know what I'm saying? And it's certain things that you can do. And it's not that's not saying that the victim that got raped caused it or anything like that, but it's certain things that a person can do. That just like, you just take the worst neighborhood in Detroit that's just tore down, messed up, fucked up, people ain't got no money, this and that, whatever, it's high crime,
or
people getting shot, killed. Yeah, anywhere, just any neighborhood that's like that across the United States, across the world, anywhere. And I'm going to pull up in the Bentley, hop out. I got money hanging out of my pockets, got diamond chains on, this and that, and I'm about to just walk through this hood.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's a higher probability by me doing that I may get attacked by doing that.
You go and get attacked, for sure.
Exactly. So my thing is, as a man, if I can comprehend that and understand that it's certain settings and certain places and certain things that I shouldn't do if I want to protect my well-being, not to say that if now something happened to me is my fault that I, but it's just certain things naturally you should think about before putting yourself or going out into society, because we know we are dealing with sick people out here.
Right.
Everybody not okay in the head. You know what I mean? Like, everybody don't have it. It's like, I don't even know if it's enough medication to treat all of it, enough therapy. We just know for a fact, scientifically, stat-wise, everything, everybody don't have it. And I made that comparison to say, just like, I would not advise that same hood that I wouldn't hop out and do that in. I would not advise my daughter to go over there in a mini skirt or booty shorts and all that stuff and walk through that same neighborhood either. I would be a bad father to tell her, well, yeah, just because you can wear those shorts to, you know, yes, you do have the right. You can go to the store and buy them and this and that. Yes, you have that right to do that.
Right. But it's the society is so over sexualized now that the women think that's the only way. That type of attention is so attractive to them. You know what I'm saying? Even though they know that it comes with, you know, discomfort as well. You know what I'm saying? You got motherfuckers who gonna grope you, or they only want to get with you to hit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, somehow, somewhere along the way, that there we go again. The abnormal thing has now become normal because, you know, that's some type of attention. You know what I'm right. saying? That's some way that they feeling important and they feeling valued. You know what I'm saying? It's too prevalent now that, you know, and it's just not women, it's men too. Or young boys too, that they are on a quest to find every day. They're trying to find ways to get external validation and praise and attention versus, you know what I'm saying, waking up, looking in the mirror and saying, you know, I am the reflection of God. You know what I'm saying? I am God's image. It's just turning into a bad thing, man. You know,
your presentation is a part of your, you know, representation. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, if this is cliche too, you know, people have said it, but if I go out the house every day wearing like some nurse type scrubs and stuff, eventually people may think that I'm a nurse. Or think that I'm this and that. You know what I mean? If I leave out the house every day and I got on a uniform and got a badge and stuff, eventually people may think, oh, this nigga must be the police or something like that. So if you dressing And, you know, and it could be have the fine lines in between. So what is dressing like a slut is and this and that. My thing is, everybody, we got our own minds. We don't have to be that tedious and tit for tat about every fucking thing. It's about just using, try to use common sense, try to protect yourself. And when men, when we are saying this, we not saying this when men, like in this conversation and just in life, when you hear other men say this, keep in mind, we're not saying this to attack you. We're actually saying this because we care for you. If we didn't care, then we would tell you, yes, go out there and just do whatever the fuck you please. But let me ask you, what parent ever tells their child, just go into the world and do whatever the fuck you please? You would consider that person to be a bad parent, right?
Absolutely.
So why, if you hearing this shit coming out of Amber Rose in the mouth or people like her, y'all take it as it's gospel, like it's all good? Like, no, like, stop manipulating the people that care, just because, like, yes, everybody wants to have fun. Everybody want to have fun. People want to express themselves in different ways, but you do want to come make it back home at the end of the night. Let's flip that coin. Now, we flip the coin on the same topic, but flip the coin to put pressure on some of the men to step up their shit. You know what I mean? Like, as a man, you have to have standards. You know what I mean? You should have some, your standards don't maybe have to be of other people's standards, but you do have to have some standards. Like I started off saying, by no means, by no way is it okay to rape a woman, period. You know what I mean? And, but you gotta have standards. You got to watch out for the games, but you also, you know, you got to know what you're looking for. Everybody go through different phases in their lives. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Some people go through certain phases longer than others. Some people stay stuck in the phase of just wanting to fuck with hella chicks, multiple chicks all the time. Some people go through that phase early in life with getting all the pussy that they want, and then they end up wanting to settle down. But a lot of times, men, we get ourselves in fucked up situations, or either fucked up situations, or sometimes we can end up losing something that's good for us by our actions or not having standards or not doing the proper things that we supposed to do. You know what I mean? So this is not just a bash a woman thing. This is really just for the community as a whole. You know, we have to put the mirror up to ourselves at some point in time. It ain't always about pointing the fingers at everybody else why shit is going on. Sometimes we have to put the mirror up to ourselves and see what are we doing to contribute to some of the abnormal behaviors that's going on within our community. You know what I mean?
Because if you think about it, sorry, if you done been through 10 fucked up relationships, you know what I'm saying? You ain't nowhere near that first person no more, that first relationship no more.
Nigga, that's real.
You know what I'm saying? So at some point, you got to see, well, shit. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm attracting. So, it must be something wrong with me too then.
Exactly. And I can attest to picking, being, mutually, however a person want to put it, but being in situations when I was younger and I acted as that age, you know what I'm saying? But luckily I learned from them experiences. That was the greatest thing that came out of what I may look back at those chapters in my life and consider L's or losses or time wasted. But I learned from them, those experiences, to get to where I'm at mentally now, you know, basically mirroring off of what you just said about, you know, if you in 10 relationships making the same mistakes, because I seen early in life of being able to be in a relationship with someone that's considered good, losing them, and then being in a relationship with someone that's bad and being able to sit back in hindsight and look at both of those situations and see not only what they did, good or bad, but to see what did I do and see why after the fact, if I constantly went through bad relationships or this and that, what was attracting me to them? What was some of the common denominators? And when I look back at that chapter of my life, I was a full-fledged alcoholic. I wasn't making clear decisions. Mm-hmm. I was drunk than a motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, all I was just looking at was, oh, you got a fat booty. You know what I'm saying? And that's really about it. And then come fucking with motherfuckers. And everybody ain't out here right just because they got a fat ass. you know what I mean, or look good. They could be fat ass, pretty face, this and that, all that stuff, and still either be dumb as rocks, still can have mental issues, still can be, or could just be good for you, but because of the way I'm living my life may push this person away or even damage that person throughout, right, you know, throughout that thing. You know what I mean? Right. So it's always going back to energy. Is the energy always is two ways in situations, right. You know what I mean? Because like I say, I didn't just experience damn near back to back of a good relationship and a bad relationship. And to be honest with you, like, you was around.
I was just thinking about, man, how fucked up we was back then.
I remember that one day
we was headed back to the crib, and you know what I'm saying, we was coming around that curve, and
now mind you, we supposed to
be on the right side of the road, and when you turn, you ain't hit the curve, but you was riding that bitch so close all the way around the curve. I was like, man.
And I programmed myself back then to think that I drove better when I was drunk than when I was sober.
I remember one thing I learned from you. He was like, shit, man, when I swerve, when I make a mistake of swerving to the next lane, I'll put on my blinker.
Right. Put on my blinker and continue to get over. Because if you jake back over, you look crazy as hell or somebody behind you. Like, why that car jaking back and forth like that? Like, hell no. Like, I start drifting. Nope, I slap that blinker on and just go ahead and get on over. Like, shit. You ain't gonna have me out here looking fucked up, looking drunk and shit.
Shit.
Yeah, them, it just so me, like, in hindsight, looking back at that chapter of that particular relationship, man, I'm talking about probably some of the best fun I probably ever had, but it was toxic. It was a toxic situation. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an alcoholic. I'm with someone that's an alcoholic. You know what I'm saying? The person did cook and do other things that a man probably would, you know, like, but you know what I'm saying? But once you get older, you see it's way more than that, like, more than that. Like, what are y'all actually building for the future, not just for that night or just every night? You know what I mean? You basically, every day is just getting drunk and setting up for the big party that night, just day after day. Like, eventually, shit not gonna work. And then my dumbass not thinking that, you know, she technically cheated on, and a matter of fact, because you knew her dude, right?
Yeah. I did. You know, a guy from, he was also,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And we was good friends during that time, you know what I'm saying?
No, not little short dude with the glasses. I'm talking about the dude that she was with prior to me kind of like coming into her life. He was from that state that we was living in at that time.
I don't remember him. If you can jog my memory, but that's really the only two dudes that you, like, you and old boy is the only ones I really remember.
Now the dude that she was with, he was from that state. Okay. And to be honest with you, the only reason why I even pushed the issue on that situation, she was just in my class. Now, I think, you know, for all the guys out there, you know, if a girl got a whatever with a big ass or whatever, and they wear them, like, not even spandex, what's them, like, velour, but like tight-fitting velour type shits all the time, you know how that look when a person walks. You know how that is. It's crazy.
Right.
So, like, every day I would come to this 10 o'clock in the morning class, and she would have on that shit in front of me. And I'm like, you know how when you in an auditorium, how you got to sit down in them seats, you kind of got to bend forward to get down in them seats. And she sat in front of me doing that every day. Remember, what was my breakfast back in the day?
Shit, a drink.
You know what I'm saying? For real. Like, niggas swerving to the store, getting a six pack. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's crazy. So by that 10 o'clock class, I already got a buzz already. Like, I'm feeling myself, like, already. Like, yeah, I'm here. What's good? You know what I'm saying? So,
game wet.
Right. Because they used to say that back in the day, like, you ain't gonna never catch me slipping with my mouthpiece ain't on point. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm liquored up on point, ready for whenever it pop off.
Right.
Every day seeing that. So the only reason why we exchange numbers, because sometimes she would miss class, I would miss class. So it was more one of the things like, okay, one the day you ain't here, I'll put your name on the thing, or let me know when you ain't in class, I'll put your name on there, tell you what you missed. So that's how we end up exchanging numbers. But long story short, so we're just cool. You know what I mean? You just cool, because technically I was still in a quote unquote long distance relationship. So I wasn't trying to necessarily cheat on the girl that had moved and went off to Howard or whatever. So what ended up happening was the dude that she was with, he didn't like me. And maybe in hindsight, I maybe could say I could see why. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know what type of presence I gave off to made him. He didn't like me, you know what I'm saying? And you know, maybe he didn't just want his girl to have no female quote unquote friends. My thing was just in class, like sometimes in school or in life, you're not gonna be able to just always have the same sex friends or associates. Sometimes you may have associates or friends that's not of the same sex. Right. That's just not how life works, you know what I mean? So the night that made it all go to the point where I was like, nah, I'm going to fuck this bitch, is when they threw a barbecue at their house. Me, a couple dudes from Chicago, a couple niggas from the crib, we all went over to a crib. And you know how we play spades.
Right.
Like, we play spades and we winning. Nigga, we talking massive shit. Massive shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, it seemed like all the cards was coming right that night. Like, I'm slamming, nigga talking, I'm talking about this nigga just getting madder and madder and madder. Like, he losing every fucking thing. Keep in mind, right before coming, go get a fresh cut, way spinning, you know, put on a, you know what I'm saying? So we end up leaving the party probably about 30 minutes later. She end up calling me, like crying, like, oh man, we just got into it. And he down there put his hands on her, all type of other shit. Like, man, don't bring that nigga Doc around no more, this and that, blah, 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 all this and that. And just from that point right there, I was like, since he think whatever he's thinking or whatever the case may be, it might as well be happening. And I was like, I'ma fuck that bitch. So long story short, whenever it did happen, basically it was on my birthday. But technically, she cheated on him doing that with me. And my dumbass, in hindsight, thought once me and her got together, why wouldn't I naturally think that if she was willing to cheat on that nigga with me, that she wouldn't do the same thing to me? Now, I don't know. And that's something I, for years, always put pressure on you. You never would fucking tell me. And I'm like, you knew me longer than you knew that other dude. But I ain't going to, you know, on the record, but I never had no confirmation if she actually did cheat on me. But it was just toxic. You can't be in a relationship and be an alcoholic and have that in the back of your mind.
On some real shit. Not that I know, because it was the whole time. It was the whole time where, you know, during that time, I know specifically, you know what I'm saying, when you went away, you know what I'm saying, for that bid or whatever, you know. When, you know, she was over there in them apartments, I didn't know nothing of her, you know, fucking with nobody. You know what I'm saying? Because I personally used to go over there and it would never be nobody over there. And, you know what I'm saying? Everything was cool. The only time that, you know, they actually or I seen that was, you know, they interaction, it was like during the time that they was supposedly fucking with each other. You know what I'm saying? Not during the time where y'all was supposed to be together. Like, I never personally knew of her fucking with nobody when, you know what I'm saying, y'all was together on some real shit.
Yeah, you know, but just being a man our ego, our pride on top of being an alcoholic, and then you got in the back of your mind that your girl may be cheating on you, or you think she is, or whatever the case may be, and that shit's on your mind every day. That's nothing but a toxic relationship. Every little bitty thing, damn, this bitch shoe ain't tied, is gonna turn to a fucking argument. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? Every little thing gonna turn into an argument. And from that, leaving out of that, like, once I finally broke up out of that situation, like, totally, like, it wasn't no going back for a couple dips here and there, like, totally, totally left it alone. I was like, I can't do it no more. Like, I'm talking about as far as even drinking like that, you know what I mean? Or even being in a relationship, arguing with someone like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was one of the worst chapters in my life. And years later, from starting this, all this YouTube stuff is crazy. My girl, even though now, like, she didn't reached out to me, I'll say maybe like 5-6 months ago, she reached out to me via Instagram.
Right.
And I'm just like, first, when I first seen it, I'm just like, man, what the fuck? You know, just bring back, like we was talking about, bringing back nothing but just negative energy from the time I looked at my DM and just seeing her fucking face and her name. It was just fucking negative energy.
You know what, though? But you know what, though? It's funny that you bring this up, because, you know, right now I'm at a point in my life where I'm starting to realize that it's very important for people in general, you know what I'm saying, men, women, whatever, you know what I'm saying, to actually pay attention to, like, how you actually gel with a person, you know what I'm saying, like.
Yeah.
If it's because it's different aspects of life, you know what I'm saying? You got fun, entertainment, you know what I'm saying? You got business, you know what I'm saying? You got financial relationships, emotional, physical, spiritual, even, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you gotta actually pay attention to what areas in life you actually gel with this person. You know what I'm saying? And definitively stand on that shit. Like, if it's something like, okay, y'all got a real spiritual bond, but y'all ain't got nothing else. Or if y'all got some amazing sex together, you know what I'm saying? But absolutely nothing else. Or y'all got all the categories tip top, y'all gelling with. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the type of focus we need to have and attention to our lives, that it needs to be to that extent to decide, like, how you deal with people in your life. You know what I'm saying? I think it's too often that we have one or two categories, you know, perfect scores with somebody, and then we just decide to, yeah, let's go ahead and just, you know, bring our whole lives together. Let's go ahead and intertwine our lives just based on these two different categories. But that's not your whole existence. You know what I'm saying? You got hella different categories that has to be addressed before you decide to move forward with somebody in your life. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's very important. Like, before you decide to, you know, get married or get into a relationship or have some kids or go into business with a person or to be, you know, best friends, whatever, you know, you gotta really take the time out, you know, take time, move slow and say, okay, we good here, not here. So this is all we gonna focus on. You know what I'm saying? This is all we got going on. This and don't feel bad when you say that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
This is it. We can't go no further than this. You know what I'm saying? We real good movie buddies. You know what I'm saying? So, shit. If we ain't going to the movies, we ain't kicking it. Or we good when we talking about business and finance. So that's all we dealing with. You know what I'm saying? Or we got all the categories covered. So you know what? Let's go ahead and you know, wrap this thing up, tie it on together. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a very important factor.
I wonder how many people are even taking that route. Once again, adding inside of all those elements that you just said, adding social media into that. Because if people are not physically interacting with people, the physical interaction with people, not sexually or anything like that, just physically meeting someone compared to just seeing the presentation that they put online can be a whole lie. You know what I mean? It could be a whole lie.
Find that and put a post up or get ready for a post.
Seriously, that one picture, it may be 1,000 other pictures that was taken just to get that one picture that may still have a filter on it or anything. Or, you know, people not talking about a 7-day out of a 7-day week, the 6 bad days that they had, but they put up that one day or that 5 minutes out of that one day where it was something good going on and they took 100 pictures out of that and spread it across 2 weeks worth of shit. You know what I mean? And you just not knowing everything that's going on and people just going off the presentation and stuff and you get drawn in from that and you don't really take the time. Because shit, I just know the stuff just be so surface level with people. You know what I mean? It could be from any angle, male or female. Like you were saying, just bonding on spiritual level or anything like that, down to having certain type of conversations with your mate or a person that you want to be your mate. Like, yeah, y'all may like the same type of music, but y'all can't, conversations just can't be about what's the hottest song that came out and going to the club, and that's just really about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's more to a relationship, because not to say you got to prepare for the worst, but you got to know, are you still willing to be with this person if things are bad? Can you still deal with this person? Can you still live with them? Can you still be around them? Can you, you know, if things are not always on the up and up, could you see yourself still caring about this person when things are not good? And people, a lot of people don't allow themselves, and some people may be scared of quote-unquote love and all that, maybe by past experiences, because some people do get scorned. You know, I do know a couple people that's like hella scorned from being in a certain type of relationship for so long, where they damn near have indirectly destroyed every relationship that they have had after that situation, because they're dealing with all the new situations like it was that old situation. You know what I mean? They're not even allowing.
You know how real it is what you're talking about right now, bro. Let me tell you how real this shit is. As we speak, right? I just got a text message from my girl. Now, I told her that I'll call her back when I get out the meeting, right?
Yeah.
She texts me. She say, "Are you still in the meeting?" You know what I'm saying? "I don't want to keep bothering you." Now, I couldn't respond because we in the meeting, right? So right. She done got in her mind that I'm doing something that I ain't supposed to be doing. And she says, she's like, "So I don't know. I feel like you haven't been talking to me. So I fully believe in those gut feelings. They've never been wrong." So she feeling like right now a nigga is knee deep in some pussy right now. You know what I'm saying?
All the way.
You know what I'm saying? It's trying to, you know what I'm saying, do something, you know what I'm saying, in life right now. And here you go, in her mind, creating this whole fucking situation of what the fuck she think I'm doing because of something that she experienced in the past.
That's very dangerous. Because just, you know, because I don't know your girl personally to speak on her. But that's a dangerous situation because it can push.
Don't make me want to fuck with it at all. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't even do nothing, and you take whatever the fuck I say for what it is. You know what I'm saying? Because a nigga cheated on you or did whatever, you was in fucked up relationships. Now you with somebody who you can't even believe them when they telling you the truth.
Ladies, if you listening to this, hit the voice message thing after this episode or even during the episode. And what advice would you give from a lady's perspective? You see that we both here recording and you see the type of text messages that he gives. Like, what advice would you give to a man from a woman's perspective of how you feel a man should handle a situation like that when he's not doing something wrong and the person is coming at them that type of way? But that's, right. But you know, back to your point, that's very dangerous. You know, from all angles, like, that's very dangerous to allow. That's just some, you know, not even just your girl, just in general, people have to maybe have to take time to heal before getting into another relationship, because they can bring that baggage with them. Right. And destroy and push something away. And I don't even mean just relationship between male and female. That could be any type of relationship. You know what I mean?
It
could
don't be give up on, and don't give up on the idea that, you know what I'm saying, it's some people out here that will keep it 100 with you. Don't, it's rare, okay, but don't give up on the idea that you could potentially meet somebody that will tell you the truth, you know what I'm saying, and only really fuck with you, you know what I'm saying. It's some people out here that really will be into you for you, man, you know what I'm saying. And keep in mind that if you don't let that let your past go, or if you don't let that shit go, man, you could potentially drive somebody who could be for you away completely. Yeah. Don't nobody want to deal with that shit.
Niggas is too old. Too old, been through too much. You know what I mean? Especially when you a good person and you doing right by people, or you got the best intentions for people, to always get picked at or come, you know, someone coming at you in some type of way, like you done did something or doing something. This shit is draining. It's very draining. You know what I mean? And I understand what you said, where it make you kind of want to bag away from, because even in your case or any case, it's like it's only so many times that a person is going to tell you that I'm not doing this, or feeling like they got to keep explaining something as adults to someone else. You're not going to want to keep doing that. Like, you're not a child, so you're like, I'm not about to feel like I'm on, not even punishment, but like an explanation mode. Like, I'm keeping it real with you. You know what I mean? Like, trust and believe until you find something, some solid shit. Real don't allow men people don't be like, in their own minds.
Real men don't like repeating they fucking self. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna say what I say one or two times, and if you don't get it, then I'm not gonna say the shit no more. You know what I'm saying? Period.
Is there an age difference between y'all?
No, we the same age. Maybe that's
I don't.
Cause all of the real successful marriages that I know of from the OGs, you know what I'm saying, generally they got younger women. You know what I'm saying? I rarely find like relationships that are really successful when they the same age. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just from my personal experience.
Logically, I can definitely see that, based off of if a man looking, the average man, if he gonna go through his phases in life where, you know, growing up, if you know, a man, a heterosexual man, you know, you grow up, if you may have cousins, brothers or whatever, you know, the whole thing that goes through boys, most boys, you know, of sex, pussy, this and that, or all that stuff. Some point in time, that man needs to go through that phase of his life before wanting to be in a committed relationship. If a man or a boy or whatever you want to call him, not, you know, if they don't go through that phase, ladies, you may catch a man that's more than likely going to cheating on you, or possibly will, if he never got that up out of his system. But if he have got that up out of his system of, you know, maybe his fantasies and all this, whatever the case may be, which comes with time. So by the time that guy gets older, he has formed it. So now he's really ready to commit. But in the woman's case, if she have tried to be in a committed relationship from the time she started dating up until 30s or whatever, she dating all these dudes that's going through that phase, so she's going to get scorned, hurt, cheated on, this and that. So by the time she gets that older age, she didn't accumulated so much bullshit that it happened, and it's, so I can see that
they really 50 and 60 at 30. The women, yeah, the women really is 50 and 30.
They say they we mature faster. I honestly always say, I do believe that women do, some women do mature faster than men, but it's for the case of, I always like get a metaphor. When in high school, some of the chicks that we may have deemed to be bad or look good then, when they was in high school, they wasn't messing with dudes in high school. They was messing with older dudes because they want the guy with the car. He may have his own apartment and stuff like that. So you being around that older dude at that younger age, his olderness or whatever is going to rub off on you, onto her. You know what I mean? So, of course, she's going to mature. You're not going to catch too many guys that's in high school knocking down a female that's 25, 26, 27 years old. And even though, yeah, because we live in, not to say that it wasn't quote-unquote rape or rape culture back then, it's just society was totally different back then. The way the microscope is on shit nowadays compared to back in the day, shit is crazy. And I'm pretty sure the shit is still going on. But it's, it, but the thing about it, it be consensual. It don't be like those guys be hiding the fact she know damn well this nigga is not in high school and she's in high school. He damn near coming up to the school swooping her up when the bell ring.
For sure.
And she hopping in the car going back to his crib. It be consensual, but then once it hit the air and the masses of people find out, then it could turn to something else because either the parents want to protect her reputation or she want to protect her reputation. And then that's sometimes when you can get these bogus rape charges and all that stuff when people both were. But that's why I go back to men, we got to look past certain shit.
In the school too, shit, the teachers be fucking with the girls too.
Yeah,
like it probably go both ways. It's probably the female teachers and with the boys too. But I'm just saying, like, not even out, just outside the school, in the school, wherever they fucking go.
One thing that I definitely noticed at college, like throughout that stage of my life, that a lot of the girls that I met in college that seemed like they came from sheltered backgrounds was the most loose ones on campus.
Yeah.
Yeah. They was finally breaking away from all those restraints and shit that they had from their strict parents, and they got down there and became bust out, became freaks.
It's definitely a shell shock, because I can say that I witnessed it from like firsthand, bro. Like we was in the dorm room, and you know,
this nigga Plan B was ice cubes. But go ahead.
That's real shit, dog. Don't try that shit. I don't know if it works. If the kids out here listening, if you bust a nut in a chick, don't put ice cubes in her pussy. Don't kill the sperm, bro.
This nigga tried to freeze the fucking sperm.
So. In fact, the doctor told me that, that might preserve it.
Right, make the baby more healthy.
Right. But look, though, so we in the damn dorm rooms, and it's like 10 or 15 of us in this small-ass dorm room, and we watching fucking pornos, right? So one of the girls, country, sheltered, she's thick than a motherfucker, but, you know, very quiet, and glasses and everything. And this shit blows her mind completely. I don't think she ever seen, and mind you, we in college, you know what I'm saying? So they damn near, we out of high school, 19, 20 years old, almost grown, and she's never experienced this shit in her life, bro. And she all but lost
her mind. She never experienced watching porn?
Watching porn, bro, period. Or even witnessing the act of sex, you know what I'm saying, in real life. That's how I'm taking it. And I'm only saying this because of her response then to it, And after she, it's almost like she lost her mind, bro. Like she couldn't focus, she couldn't think. And next thing you know, she got some dick and her whole life, her whole persona, everything changed, bro. Like her attitude changed. Now she's smoking squares. It's crazy. So I definitely feel you on the fact that, you know what I'm saying, sheltering, you know, the people that are sheltered, you know, it has the biggest effect on them when they get exposed, when they finally get exposed to certain things. That's a real thing.
You know, as a father, that fucks with me because I have a daughter. So it's like, you know what I mean? You your princess, that's how you see your daughter. Like, this is the princess of the world. I got to protect her at all costs. You don't even want her to fall and bump her knee. You know what I'm saying? You don't want anything bad to happen to her. But knowing from a man's perspective of seeing that, because to me, going back to the original thing, to me, besides, of course, the piece of paper that you get that can open up doors and everything else after graduating from college, but to me, just the experience and the networking and being able to leave from your area where you're born and raised at. Some people go to school locally, but definitely the experience of going to a whole nother state. You don't have no family, no friends around you. It's just you to fend for yourself. You meeting different people from different states, different countries, different religions, all type of stuff. To me, that's the most powerful thing that Danner came out of going to school during that time, because it opened up my mind. You know, when you from one place and you stay in that one place your whole life, that's all you know. You don't really even understand that the world is bigger, even though you understand it because you know it, because you can look in your smartphone, but it really don't resonate with you that the world is really bigger than that, just going down the street to that liquor store, going to that club downtown, or hitting that titty bar and doing this and that.
Right.
Like, and what people may deem cool in your city, and what's, you know, oh shit, nigga, all I gotta do is get me a pair of buffs and nigga, I'm gonna knock all the bitches down, this and that. You go somewhere else, people looking at them, nigga, them just glasses. Like, what are you talking about? They don't even understand that a nigga dinner then lost his life three times and maybe whacked the nigga for them bitches. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, a lot came with these. Like, nigga, this is a trophy where I'm from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, motherfuckers, you know, we got to get out and travel, man. That's not something that that is really put in a high regard in our culture. You know what I'm saying? In our households, you know, generally, it's as far as like traveling. You know what I'm saying? It's not even really thought about for real. So yeah, you're right about that.
And if a motherfucker plan ahead, it don't to go on a cruise or do certain shit, it don't just cost a ton of money if you plan ahead. You know what I'm saying? You can catch some deals or go on some cruises, just the experience of being able to leave, be around people that you don't know, different type of people, sit back and chop it up with them, converse with them, however you want to say it. Because you will even see, even going to a HBCU, so you leaving a basically predominantly black place, but you going to another predominantly black place, but it's people from damn near all 50 states and different countries. You even get to see that your own people are different in different places.
Right.
That everybody is just not the same. Everybody don't think the same. Everybody don't react to the same situations, the same this and that.
Right.
And it has its pros and cons. Because I always used to look back and be like, I'm not going to say that I don't regret that experience at all, but during that time I used to think like, damn, you know, leaving a predominantly black place and then coming to an all black school, you know, the rest of the world not like that for real. You know, as far as, say for instance, okay, you graduate from school, you get up in the working class and you moving up and this and that, you're gonna possibly or more than likely start seeing less and less of your own people.
Absolutely.
You gotta know how to interact and deal with other people.
Right.
And if you never get that experience, it's always going to be some type of awkwardness between you and your coworkers or whatever, because y'all just don't, and that's vice versa for them as well.
Right.
If they just came from an all white or all Asian or whatever, and then now they out in the workforce and they around people, and the only thing that you got the opportunity to see about these people were just on the news or through music, you're going to treat them like that. You're not going to treat them like this a regular person just like me.
Yeah.
You coming at them through a stereotypical type way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not to take anything away from the, you know, the HBCU experience, you know what I'm saying? HBCU experience, because it's definitely a beautiful thing, you know what I'm saying? But that is also a very valid point, you know what I'm saying? Because me, personally, you know, I now have come to the point in my career where I'm definitely the minority in the workplace. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And, you know, just something as simple as, you know, elevator conversation is definitely a skill that you need to have, you know? And I'm calling it a skill because to me, that's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, that's something that I actually try to improve. And that's something that I noticed that I used to lack, you know what I'm saying? Just getting on the elevator, and you know, this is a big thing, because this will let other cultures in on, you know, what we deal with as being, you know what I'm saying, you know, minorities in the world or in the workplace. You know, this just lets y'all in a little bit, because it's a big deal. Like, that's something that I dealt with, you know, that I wish that, you know, I had, as far as, you know, being socially integrated. You know, I would get on the elevator and, you know, those some other coworkers might be on the elevator, and they're having just regular banter or back and forth conversation. They don't directly work with each other, and this is probably the only time they're gonna talk to each other today. But it seemed very easy, you know what I'm saying? That people can just pick up and just talk to each other just about whatever. Like, how do they do that shit? So I envied it, you know what I mean? So I made it my business to not be so socially awkward in the workplace, you know what I mean? Because it's like, yeah, it's cool. Like, when you're amongst your friends, you know, your homeboys or your family, you know, you're comfortable, so you can relate. So you could just easily just start a conversation. But now you walk on to the elevator with somebody that's not from your culture, a different ethnic background, you know what I'm saying? Different sex, you know what I'm saying? So you walking on pins and needles, you're uncomfortable because you don't want to say something that makes them feel uncomfortable. You know what I mean? I'm thinking about how they looking at me, and it's just weird, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a definite issue with, you know, exploring, getting exposure to, you know what I'm saying, different cultures, different people, you know what I'm saying? Because it can carry you and it can affect you, you know what I'm saying, along, you know, in different places of your life, man. So that's a very valid point that you're making.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 21 of the No Offense Podcast. We kicked a lot of shit, talked about a lot of game. Hope you guys learned something. But on top of that, you could teach us something too. We want to definitely hear your feedback. All of our episodes is nothing but to cause dialogue, to start a conversation. So hit that voicemail button. Send us a few voice messages to let us know what you think on different topics we was talking about. And like I said, depending on your feedback, we are included inside of another episode. And once again, if you're on Apple Podcasts, make sure you hit the 5-star rating and leave a positive review. Peace.